skeptical for a person who's doing debating. I was really pushing, as I remember in that debate, for what I thought was a stronger position than I had done before, which is I felt that really Rotkin had to be recalled in order for there to be a real change on the city council.
Right.
And we got the change, or we hope we have the change. It's still not clear that there is a change on this issue yet in a substantive way, although it's beginning to look like that might happen.
Yeah, I heard the tapes of the city hall meeting.
Yeah.
The city council.
The city council meeting.
I am wondering, though, what do you have to say about Rotkin's point that it could create a backlash against the homeless in public opinion if people are allowed to sleep outside, that people might get really angry and not want to put funds for homeless, like food, shelter, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think what you should do is you should examine what's happened in, let's say, Santa Barbara in 1986, where the sleeping ban was terminated for 2 years, and contact social service providers, as I have, to ask them, was funding decreased for homeless services? I mean, was there an upsurge of public outrage? And the reality is no. That when you talk to Jane Hagstrom, who headed the Homeless Coalition and was also ran the Armory for a number of years, she'll tell you no. As a matter of fact, homeless services increased.
What does Rotkin say when you tell it to him?
He just sort of acknowledges it and then moves on to the next point.
Yeah.
I suppose we are really going to have a chance if and when these hearings transpire, after if everyone can kind of get out of the freezing cold long enough to do it. I mean, you know, because we're all going to have to survive the winter and stay around, I guess we will.
You sleep outside as well?
I do not. I'm in a cold studio, but I definitely sleep inside. Although I've been outside in sleepouts, and we do that in order to, you know, show solidarity, and that's one way to draw public attention to this, and also to get a good cold, and even get pneumonia. But, Rotkin will be presented with this, not by me so much, or even by the public, although I'm hoping to get experts to call in from different places and to write in, but by city council members like Crone and Sugar, and I don't know what Fitzmaurice is doing based on his rather deplorable performance last, you know, Tuesday. I'm trying to write all this off as new, you know, uncertain behavior by city council members, and that could well be.
Right. Why do you think, what's Rotkin's motivations? Why is he so tied into big business if it's his last term and he can't get reelected?
Well, it's really unfair for me to just to really speculate, because, I mean, I do speculate. My speculation is often that people who get into political positions of political power adopt kind of what they consider to be moderate positions that they think please everybody.
Right.
And then when they're in that, when they've committed themselves to that stance, they don't want to back away from it.
Right.
Because they feel they'd be losing face. I also think that Rotkin is genuinely self-deluded in certain respects. I mean, he also is very much of a, he's something of a liar in the sense that he consciously makes misstatements that he knows are not true, but that he knows he can get away with. For instance, he did vote, for instance, in favor of making sleeping a misdemeanor in 1979 as part of a general change in the municipal code. If you look at the sleeping ban, you'll see that 6.36.050, which is the fifth provision of the sleeping ban, was added in 1979, and he voted for it.
Right.
Which makes it 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. Now, it's also true, because we want to be utterly honest, that it was a fine before that under the more general provisions of the code that just wasn't made explicit. And in a certain sense, he limited it because two instances of sleeping have to happen within 48 hours, and they usually do for most of us, for it to be a crime, a misdemeanor crime, under the code Rotkin voted in. Under the old code, it just had to be within 6 months. So you might consider this to be a liberalization, but the fact is, it's obviously not sufficient liberalization for anybody, and he didn't distinguish himself by standing up and saying, wait a minute, what are we making it a misdemeanor to sleep twice in 48 hours for, when there's not room for people to sleep anyway? And why, when he was mayor in 1996, and again in 1997, I would say the same, I think I debated him in 1998 earlier this year, but he has said, and he hasn't changed his position, that it should still be a misdemeanor. If you sleep twice in 48 hours, he says it should be a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And why does he say this? Well, his rationale is that you need to give the police the tools to deal with messy campers, that they have no other tools, that they can't use littering laws, that they can't use public safety laws. And these are arguments that have to be seriously considered. I'm not going to completely dismiss them out of hand, but you have to weigh these considerations. I mean, generally speaking, our arguments have been, no, you can use other laws, so I disagree with him on this, and there, you can have a real discussion around this. But you also have to heavily weigh in with the reality, and this is where Rotkin really falls short. The moral reality of arresting people for sleeping outside when there's inadequate shelter is something that he refuses to confront. He doesn't say, God, I don't know what to do about this. What can we do about this? You know, I mean, what, we have these problems. What, you know, I claim there's a magnet effect. I claim that there's going to be a backlash. But there is this other thing. What are we going to do? Instead, he kind of has this facile, glib thing. Oh, well, we're always looking for shelter solutions, you know, and we're going to get shelter as soon as we can.
It's just like Fidel Castro does in Cuba. It's like right now I might be repressing the hell out of you, but in the future I won't have to do this anymore. I won't even have to be a leader. There won't even need to be a government. It'll all straighten itself out when the ideal is reached, and that's what he's doing. He keeps putting it off into the future. Like, we're working on it. We're working on it. Just deal with it now.
That is what Rotkin does around the sleeping ban issue, but it's... I probably have more regard for Castro than you do, so I don't know if I would necessarily, you know, kind of... I think I'd be insulting Castro to compare him to Rotkin. Not that I, you know, love everything Castro does.
Right.
But
there's definitely great things he does, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of people died in Honduras and Guatemala and when the hurricanes hit because the government didn't give a shit, but in Cuba they moved everybody back and, you know, a lot of life was saved for an instance. But the problem with Rotkin is he has this tape, this loop tape that keeps going. And he often doesn't even update it. It's kind of strange. He's so kind of, you know, it's such a subconscious wrap almost around the sleeping ban that it doesn't, you know, he doesn't even, you know, deal with new incoming data. And I had the same problem with Catherine Byers on Tuesday night. I didn't see, as I said, any responses to this. Did you see the public hearings on Tuesday?
I heard it on private radio, parts of it.
Yeah, it was very impressive to me for a number of reasons. I mean, it was unanimous. There was not one person in the audience. And the head of the Downtown Association was in the audience, Peter Eberle. He could have spoken up. He could have walked to the mic and said, this is going to produce all these messy campers and, you know, 150,000 deadheads are going to show up in Santa Cruz and all these arguments. Rotkin once claimed 10 million people would come to town, and he was being, of course, rhetorical.
He doesn't even say that anymore, though, right?
He didn't say that. Well, he makes sort of roundabout arguments that say this, the same thing. Oh, we have wonderful social services, though he doesn't now claim that we have the best in the West Coast, which he used to.
Right.
It's not that the services have changed, it's just that people are monitoring him more closely.
Right.
You don't get away with that kind of stuff so easily. When the mayor calls him, in essence, he didn't call him a liar, but she disputed his statistics when Celia Scott was mayor. You know, it gets more difficult to kind of glibly throw these things out, and it's also... Sorry, go ahead.
I was wondering if you ever approached him personally, privately, not just in public discussion, and just...
I have.
And is it promotive? Positive?
Well, you know, Rotkin is a very amiable guy. I mean, you know, we chat at each other, we smile, we laugh, we talk.
Yeah.
And we may look like, you know, I mean, I rage at people at city council publicly because I think the positions need to be put out there.
Right.
And I think that when people show that kind of anger... they are actually engaging in moral activity. This kind of indignation is really the only thing when coupled with effective factual presentations and massive support.
I wouldn't go that far. I think right now the way you're talking is a lot better way to get ideas to people who don't agree with you off the bat. And I think when you're angry, it makes people defensive. And if they don't already feel exactly what you're feeling, they're not going to be open to it.
Well, you got a point there. The problem often is, though, that when you see me in these angry presentations, it's usually...
It only happened once, by the way.
Well, I get angry at city council.
Right.
The reason that I make angry speeches at city council is because you usually have 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
You got to compact it all into that period of time.
Yeah.
And it, you may well be right that the most effective way is to be more mellow. Now, on this radio show, I got 2 hours.
Right.
I can go on and on. I control it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But with Rotkin, you had the whole evening.
I did have the whole evening, although we had a kind of a series of, we had limited periods of time.
Right.
I think we had 15 minutes each or something total, or 20 minutes each time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I probably could have made a better showing. I don't...
Because if your energy had been redirected instead of to insulting him, but to just list fact after fact after fact that backed up your argument, you could have made him look much more foolish that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd have to review the tapes. I think, again, that I... You know, I had used that approach in the past, and what Rotkin would do is he would simply, he would dismiss it and deal with, you know, he would simply assert the opposite. He would engage in argument by assertion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, everyone's going to come to town if we do that. And, you know, there'd be a backlash that would recall the entire city council if these laws were changed. And, you know, that's a given fact.
But people would take your side, I think, if it was obvious that he was not saying things that were truthful.
I would hope so. But I found in the past that, I mean, I probably should play, you should check out some of the old, we have some old tapes of the Rodkin-Norris debates. And on the air, I was pretty mellow. You know, I tried to use the mellow approach. And it didn't seem to go anywhere. I mean, maybe it did. Maybe a lot of people, and I wasn't simply aware of it.
Yeah.
But I felt at that particular time that the best thing to do was to urge the audience, essentially, to, you know, recall this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, frankly, we would have had a lot of a healthier climate throughout the summer and the fall if he had been recalled.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was about as likely as, you know, snow in June, but...
Right. Yeah, well, thanks for giving me time to talk to you about this.
Sure, and thank you for calling in. And if you want to, you know, if you want to call City Council and invite Mike to come on the air and debate,
that'd be cool. What's the number?
Yeah, the phone number of City Council is 429-3550, and that's the pound key. And actually, what you should probably do is wait for Rodkin's, you get a number for him specifically, 429-3550. Other callers, I would urge, just call City Council directly and do 429-3550, push the pound key and say, get a special session going for homeless people who are outside and, you know, being arrested for sleeping. There's just no other way, and it has to be done immediately.
Yeah. Why do you care so much about the issue, just morally? I mean, how do you manage to have time to devote all your energy to this?
I don't know. It just seems so outrageous. I get caught up in it. Maybe it's one of my loop tapes. Who knows?
Well, thanks for doing it.
Hey, thank you.
Have a good night.
Alrighty.
Just make sure you don't get too stressed out.
All right, then.
Stay healthy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And it is indeed bathrooms, stairs, broadsides, and looks like the phones are ringing, and I really appreciate these new callers. Thank you for calling in, caller. I didn't catch your name, but keep calling in, and keep calling me. Maybe you'll get me angry, we'll get into a real fight. It'd be exciting.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
It's an old and cold caller. After waiting at the bus stop for half an hour to get me over to Voices of the Village.
Oh, boy. Speaking of which, before you go on, caller...
But, you know, I wanted to say
about what you're talking about, the previous caller.
Caller,
just a moment. Before you go on, let me remind our listeners that if you want to call Voices from the Village and join the discussion on television about the sleeping ban, perhaps, or the new council, the number to call is 425-4920. There you go. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with what you wanted to say.
Well, yeah, you know, that debate you had with Rodkin, there were some of us in the Committee to Repeal Sleep Ban got together and wanted to sort of tame you or instruct you or coach you or help you be prepared. And one of the things we all had agreed was that Rodkin had dominated the argument and the debate from his council chair so much with so many lies that we really needed to, as much as possible, get you to just, you know, like a... rat-a-tat-tat, get those lies countermanded. And we put you in a high-key mode, and that was probably pretty unfair to you. We should have just let you go at him the way you know best. But we did put you in a tense mode, because we felt that he had just dominated with so many lies, and he's still doing the same thing. You know, if anybody read the San Jose Mercury today, now that he doesn't have Karen Clark as a mouthpiece, I guess he's going to try to use the Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just have the Sentinel. So I wanted to let people know that, you know, you were acting as a representative of the committee when you did that debate, and we put a lot of pressure on you.
David, you're a Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban Outreach Coordinator who's been doing a lot of talking to council members. You were at the city council speaking there, at rushing through your 2 minutes, as I remember.
That was hard.
Yeah, I'm not going to forgive Byers for that one. Soon,
2 minutes was awful.
Yeah, I really don't like that, and I certainly hope that Crone and Sugar collar on that and stop that from happening at the next discussion. You know, they'll just have to throw more council meetings. You can't cut people off like that. Not if you're going to have a council that's supposedly committed to real public process. That's a mockery of public process.
And they let something that was carried over the afternoon have its 3 minutes. It was an important issue, but it's something that we really had debated when the old council voted the wrong way, and a lot of us, you know, just held our tongue because we wanted to give more time to the... Man, you know, it was, they had carryover stuff, and those people all got 3 minutes, and it was sort of almost rhetorical, you know, because those 3 minutes were important for the public to know But we already had the hearing. We already had the input.
You're talking about the Tidelands reversal, which is a very important vote.
But it was a done deal.
Yeah, you know, I think what they needed to do is they needed to hold a special session a week later to finish off the business.
Yeah.
That would have been the thing they could have done. And Byers has been making these ridiculous comments. Oh, she has to go out of town. She has business. You know, she's the mayor.
It's the season.
You know, that's nice, you know.
Yeah, and there's no room in the inn.
Right.
I want to talk about where are you going to shit tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, where are you going to shit tonight, Knight? I think that's what they're, one of the things that we're going to, I sent a manner that they talk about a Voice of the Village, and there I'm not there. I don't even have access to a TV to watch how it's going. But what San Jose Mercury pointed out is sort of the weakest point that we have in trying to build a consensus between homeless and business, and that's that fear point of, you know, defecating in public and so forth. As soon as, you know, the San Jose Merc does these dramatization stories, but it does underline and show us where we have common ground, because the Downtown Association wants public restrooms and wants lots of public restrooms downtown. So it's funny that the homeless and the Downtown Association now are in accord.
And David, what you're referring to, of course, for those who haven't read it, is a story by John Woolfolk in today's San Jose Mercury News. Abundant campers test city's tolerance. Santa Cruz plans to use sleeping van. And it's sort of this long, obnoxious story about a merchant who finds some woman either taking a dump or peeing.
Well, she was squatting, you know, squatting, and they made it sound like defecating.
For somebody to go into this in a town that has no 24-hour bathrooms is really, you know, the height of stupidity and arrogance to me. It shows a kind of distorted form of reporting. But
there's a journalistic flair that disregards the delicate balance of what we're doing right now.
It's a smear of
anti-community.
It's a smear of human rights activists. But remember, that is exactly what Rotkin did back in 1996 to smear the City Hall sleepers protest. And the Sentinel put these headlines about, you know, shit and piss all over the place when Rotkin was the one who closed the bathroom so that people couldn't use the city council bathroom at night.
So 24-hour bathrooms are the public restrooms that exist, and we need to put in, restrooms. Obviously, the public on both sides of this issue, the people that are in fear and the people that are, like, full of resentment because of the way they're being treated. Both sides of this issue are demanding public toilets, and that could be a common ground where we can begin to build a consensus with homeless.
Yeah, I would hope so. I know that you're putting a lot of time into surveying the merchants and trying to get the really genuine concerns and allay the apprehensions of the merchants around the issue of people having a right to sleep and where are they going to sleep and so forth. And those are important things you're doing. But I mean, look at this last city council meeting where we had this new city council. You have a restroom that is clean and solid right across from the city council.
Don't
chambers,
have a drinking
6
fountain.
Feet away. You haven't got a drinking fountain that works yet. But that bathroom could have been open 24 hours a day by that city councilman. They could have just directed it to be open all winter. But, you know, I didn't see that happen. I didn't see Chris Crown raise his hand and say, let's do that. I didn't see Tim Fitzmaurice, the great green god, say, hey, how about everybody having a right and a safe place to take a dump? No. Instead, what we're going to have are people dumping in the bushes, and because they're dumping in the bushes, the merchants are going to have this hysterical hook on which to hang opposition to those two people given the right to sleep at night.
Well, maybe we should be calling the state health and sanitation or the county health and sanitation and getting them to crack down on the city. I don't know. I don't know where we begin to campaign on something like this, but the fact that we have businessmen agreeing with homeless people on a solution is real promising, and I think maybe we should focus our energy there right now.
Well, you know, you use the positive approach. I will kind of emphasize the not so much the negative, but the deficiencies.
Yeah.
I think what we should do is call City Council at 429-3550, pound key, and say, open that 24-hour restroom within a week, or we'll set up a little makeshift restroom right outside that restroom if necessary. You know, because people need places to use the bathroom, and if you don't want to set up places, then we'll dig a fucking hole in the lawn and do it there. I mean, come on, give us a break. I'm sorry, I'm getting angry again. I don't wish to alienate my audience.
There's reportedly several very, very wealthy people in town that are willing to work on the solution, a shelter crisis solution, and try to actually work on some constructive things. They need to apply their energy first right now on solving the where do you shit tonight night problem. And the where do you shit tonight night problem, I think really we should put on the front burner, and we all should push for it, because it really does begin the dialogue of on both sides, respect for both sides.
Well, it's certainly an element of it, David, no question.
Yeah.
You know, I know that your committee to repeal the sleeping ban has been kind of reforming. You're trying to get the committee together again to really start, you know,
We've got 3,000 plus good signatures here of people, and we need to start matching them up with the latest voter registration.
You need volunteers now?
Yeah, we need phoning volunteers a lot.
How should people call if they want to help?
I hate to give out my home phone number again. I'm not too sure if extension 182 is the appropriate thing to give out right now.
Oh, you want to give out your home phone?
Sure.
Can they come and use your bathroom?
I'm sorry. We have a double disabled household right here, and our bathroom has to be used immediately upon notice.
I see. But they can come over and use your phone to help make phone calls.
Well, of course.
And what is that phone number if people want to help you do this phone in to city council, not just around, you know, don't shit tonight. What are we calling it?
Where are you going to shit tonight?
Where are you going to shit tonight? Night. That is to say, opening up facilities so that people don't have to, you know, litter the area, but also, you know, dealing with this sleeping ban and this incredible shelter crisis.
We need to, have plenty of people that are tired of this law, that saw the injustice and the inhumanity of this law all this spring when they were signing initiatives. We need to have those people show up at the public hearings that are going to take place, and we need to get those people organized. We need to survey the businesses that are tired of this thorn in the heart of Santa Cruz that, you know, makes this really a wounded heart city, that are training police into bad behavior. And we need to talk about that. Whenever an article like that appears in the paper and they're talking about people shitting in public or whatever, they need to also talk about police bad behavior. There's bad behavior that's unfortunately necessary biological functions, and, you know, people shit in the daytime too. Homeless people shit in the daytime as well. Shitting and sleeping doesn't necessarily, I disagree with Keith Sugar. I don't think that shitting is necessarily attenuant to sleeping. I think he was wrong there, and it's unfortunate that they picked that quote to spread all over the front page of the Sentinel.
The worst behavior is obviously a city council that keeps public facilities closed or refuses to put any resources into opening them.
That right there, you know, borders on torture and human rights violation, and I'm sure it probably breaks several codes.
It's also simple stupidity. I mean, you know,
and there are disabled homeless. There's an ADA suit. You know, there's several lawsuits that can be done of it.
And it's also bad business practice.
I mean,
come on, you drag your kid all around town with no bathroom.
I've heard many people that are not homeless that do not go downtown anymore because they can't find a bathroom, and that's just no reason. Disabled people, senior citizens.
So
a lot of people, anybody can need a bathroom at any time if you drink too much coffee or whatever.
If folks want to deal with this problem, I think opening a 24-hour bathroom is an essential, but I think also pressing the city council to take broader action on the shelter crisis is also an essential.
Yeah.
They can give you a call to help your phone-in activity at what number, David?
429-5284.
429-5284.
Yeah, we'll have a message phone real soon, but right now we're back to
429-5284 to talk to David Silva, the outreach coordinator for the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, and volunteer. And please,
our work is
volunteer. We can use the help. This is actually the time when it could make a difference, because Catherine Byers would not have had anything on the agenda if you, the callers out there, hadn't called in. I talked to her, as I said, on the Wednesday morning before this council meeting. That was a week before. She was having nothing on the agenda.
She got multiple
calls from many, many people who demanded something go on. And as you saw at that meeting, a unanimous room full of people saying, do something now.
Let's pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
It hasn't gotten through to them yet, David.
I know.
But I think that if we keep that volume up there, keep that level of moral commitment and discourse up there, they are going to hear us.
Well, let's hope that these 3,800, 3,000, whatever number of people that we have, the registered voters in the city of Santa Cruz, can all be contacted within the next couple of weeks, and we need volunteers to do that. And let's hope that they'll all show up and they'll all contact City Hall.
Thank you, David.
Okay, Robert.
Bye-bye.
So, again, those phone numbers to call, if you want to call and help do this phone-in campaign to activate the folks who've already agreed to help, but we need to reach them, give a call to David Silva of the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban at 429-5284. If you want to report any kind of police misconduct, you can contact HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUF, 423-4833. If you want to call in tonight to the live call-in on Channel 71 and talk to council about the new council, I don't know if there are any actual council members at that debate, you can call Voices from the Village at 425-4920, 425-4920. And if you want to get a last hurrah in here at the Bathrobe Spears Broadsides in the last 3 minutes of our show, because Uncle Dennis is due to come blowing through that door, along with the Earth First Wind, at any moment, then you can give a call to 427-3772. And of course, if you want to call City Council directly, even if you've called them before, call them now at 429-3550 and then push the pound key. And just tell them, I'm glad you said all those good things at City Council on Tuesday night, but get together again in the next week. Do something about the shelter crisis. Do something about the law against sleep. And do something about the lack of sanitation facilities. 24-hour restrooms, end the sleeping ban, and set up some real shelter circumstances so we either open a public building, open a campground, open a car park. Do something to deal with the 80% of homeless people who are outside each night. It's freezing out there. It's a holiday season. Something can be done. Your call can help. And you can call and volunteer to help do that. You can, don't just say do it to the city council. I mean, say that. Definitely say that. Say this is in your hands. Whether people get arrested for sleeping at night is in your hands. Whether people freeze at night because public buildings aren't open, because there are no campgrounds, because there are no lots set aside where people can safely park their vehicles and sleep. This is in the hands of the city council. And you can tell them that at 429-3550. 429-3550. Push the pound key. That'll put you into the voicemail of all the council members. And just tell them that this cannot wait until January 12th. This cannot wait until February's camping ban hearings. It has to happen now. Well, I was going to read about the Pottinger decision. I'm going to start reading about it, but I'm afraid that Uncle Dennis is going to roll in before too long, but maybe I can get a word or two out. This is the new policy in Miami. First of all, I want to say for 5 years they have not endorsed the sleeping ban, and according to shelter providers there that I spoke with 2 days ago, there has been no increase in demands on social services other than the people that were already there. Check it out, Mike Rotkin. That's just what's being said. Okay, policy. This is the new policy in Miami. This is was faxed to me 3 days ago. It is the policy of the City of Miami Police Department to ensure that personnel are sensitive to the needs and rights of our homeless population, as well as knowledgeable of the department's arrest policies concerning such persons. 2. The City of Miami has a policy that we shall not arrest visibly homeless persons who live in public for performing acts criminalized as misdemeanors, such as sleeping, eating, lying down, or sitting in public where there is no available shelter. It is not a crime to be homeless. This policy should not be construed as protecting persons, whether homeless or not, from arrest for engaging in any other type of criminal activity. This is a police department policy manual I'm reading you from. This isn't some la-di-da statement by the city council. This is what the police do every day and have committed themselves to do because of court-ordered policies. Think about that. And I'm going to be leaving you now. I'll be back on Sunday at the usual time. My usual time is 11 o'clock in the morning. I go from 11 to 1:30. I'm your host, Bathrobe's Pierre Robert Norse. Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM is Uncle Dennis. One brief note, Free Radio Santa Cruz needs your help now more than ever. We have gotten subpoenas for our phone records. So the FCC is on our tail fast and furious. Call the voicemail at 427-4523 to help support Free Radio Santa Cruz. Thank you very much, and thank you, Uncle Dennis. On Sunday morning, December 13th, time for a 2.5 hour stint and sprint with Bathrobe's Pierre's Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobe's Pierre Robert Norse. We're going to be taking reports from the street, further analyzing the sleeping ban debate of last week. We'll get a report from the Saturday protest, which involved both Mumia Abu-Jamal's scheduled execution and the slow death of folks outside here in Santa Cruz through hypothermia and humiliation under the sleeping ban. We're going to be talking about the upcoming Crone Sugar Subcommittee, which is hopefully going to meet next week and begin discussion of these issues. We'll be going into, a kind of a long-lost tape we recorded several months ago after the Capitola Mid-County Times came out with a long article on Karen Gillette and what some activists had to say about Homeless Community Resource Center or Homeless Services Center Director
Karen Gillette. We're going to be examining police brutality, considering the latest shooting, a timely topic in the upcoming Citizens Police Review Board meeting tomorrow at 5:30 down at City Hall. Join us. Suffered any harassment yourself recently?
Not recently, but about a year ago when the happy hippie was killed. My friend got ran out of town and I was told it would be a good idea if I left town.
You remember the name of the officer who told you that?
No, I don't. I have a bad time with names.
What were the circumstances under which you were told that?
My friend and I took the happy's gun away from him earlier that day. And we had his gun, his toy gun. The night he was shot, and he supposedly had the gun on him. And yes, he did not have his gun.
Where did you run into him?
I ran into him down here by the record store next to the movie house. And
you mean Blockbuster Video?
Blockbuster Video. And that's where he was upsetting some of the tourists that were in town. So at dinner time down here at the
Mission.
We got into a conversation with him and asked to see his toy gun. Oh, that's nice, you know, and handed it to my friend.
What did it look like?
His is fluorescent orange and green.
Uh-huh.
And the toy gun that the officers had said he had was black. It looked like a 9mm, which is no way near what his looked like. And we took the gun away over at Elm Street Mission.
Did you have any witnesses to this?
Well, just the two of us.
Who was the other person with you?
Another homeless guy. His name was John. But anyway, the cops took him outside of town, told him if he knew what was good for him, he'd continue going, because he came back.
When did they do this?
That was a week after Happy was killed. And he was scared. He left town. I wrote it all up if you want to read it.
Really? I would like to read it. Abe, this is Becky Johnson.
Hi,
Becky.
Hi.
Learn about the hippie planter.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, we'll call you Hi for short, Hi.
Okay, today I'm Hi.
You don't look too high, but Hi anyway, Hi.
I'm okay. Yeah.
So you say that you were greeted with a sleeping ticket recently?
I didn't get a ticket, but 7:15 in the morning, there's a flashlight shining through the back of my friend's RV. I happened to be the only one awake to notice. And when I opened the door, this man, this police officer, Mr. Kelly, said that there was complaints that we were sleeping on this street that had about 15 to 20 RVs parked at it and no houses.
Now let me see, this was within the city limits?
This was within the city limits, so obviously I was breaking the law.
And
So the officer, for some reason, didn't give you a ticket?
He didn't give me a ticket, but he did, I don't know. He told us to leave. He told us to get on Highway 1 and go north or south.
And what did you do?
We got on the highway and left.
So in other words, he harassed you without ticketing you. Sergeant, we have a case of police harassment we need to report to you immediately. Seriously, are you not gonna, you're not gonna take a complaint?
Serious.
Really?
I'm not gonna take a complaint. I'm going somewhere right now.
Can you come back when you're
sure,
finished?
I'll be back in
I appreciate it.
And these are interviews on the street from about a week ago. I believe it was actually the day after the city council meeting, which was December 8th, Wednesday the 9th. And I'm encouraging everyone to keep their eyes peeled for accounts of police misconduct. By the way, the sergeant who I hailed, Sergeant Vogel, never did come back, strangely enough. And indeed, we're still waiting for Sergeant Vogel's stats on panhandling and camping tickets, which he requested about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. It's always hopeful that he'll come through with those stats, but then again, there's beginning to be a question as to whether perhaps the computers are broken down or something in the chain of command seems to be blocking public access to those records. Perhaps the Crown Sugar Subcommittee can do better. That's the committee that's going to be meeting, hopefully next week. At least we had the word of Chris Crone that that was going to be happening. He gave me three times, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, when he'd be available. And it looked like, given what other people wanted, that Tuesday would be good. Byers, our mayor, has said she's not interested in public meetings with us this week, as far as I know. Although she was accessible. She was about the only person really accessible in the last week. Although I guess Chris Crone did, I did have a conversation around the outcome of the sleeping ban debate, which really was, well, it was kind of an interesting, it was kind of historic, and that we actually spent some time, the public spent some time talking about the sleeping ban, and that was historic, although maybe not, because the public has been trying to get that kind of input to the council, and I guess the historic moment will not be when the council, when this public appears at the council giving it this testimony, but when the council actually starts responding to it in a significant way. Now, although it is true, I suppose, even insignificant and formalistic discussions or evasive discussions or discussions that quash the issue, as happened at the December 8th meeting, when Keith Sugar, Vice Mayor Keith Sugar's courageous proposal that there be no ticketing or stops, I should say no ticketing of under the sleeping or camping ban, or for sleeping or covering up with blankets unless there's a health and safety concern, and then presumably it would be under other sections than the sleeping or camping ban. He tried again and again to get that passed as an interim guideline for the police chief. He was essentially quashed by the city attorney, John Barasone, by the former shadow mayor, Mike Rotkin, who is now in the minority but still a very powerful city council figure, and by our own mayor, Mayor Catherine Byers, who has the four votes to do what Sugar wants to do. And Sugar, to his credit, pressed on to try to make this a law because they wouldn't allow it simply to be a policy. And they strangled him with more talk about emergency regulations and delays, and Catherine Byers couldn't be in town. And eventually, they kind of pushed him back to January 12th, which is the next meeting of the City Council, which means the entire winter, New Year's, Christmas season will remain open season on the homeless. Unless, of course, you believe that the kind of patchwork deal that Byers put forth in her point 5 at that session, which states that they'll be ticketing wherever reasonable and practicable upon complaint, or after warning, and that generally there shall be complaints, or it shall be emphasize complaints, or other peculiar language. And, of course, the proof is going to be in the pudding, and we're going to see if the police department abides by these regulations. And I guess cop watcher Becky Johnson yesterday got a report on a ticket, or it was either a ticket or a harassment instance that's happened after the December 8th council session. And that's what we're trying to compile for all of you folks out there who are listening and interested in the issue. Is the police department, the Parks and Rec Department, and other jurisdictions, I guess this was up at UC that Becky got this report from, because unfortunately the camping ban and the sleeping sections of the camping ban, the sleeping ban and the blanket bans, can be used by other jurisdictions like UC Police, like Parks and Rec, like California Highway Patrol, to go after innocent people even if Chief Belcher's men are standing down, even if the Parks and Rec Rangers are kind of reining in their Park and Rec, W-R-E-C-K, expeditions. So the problem is going to be what really is going on this winter. And I hope you help us, listeners out there. Hope you keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is justice in this case, and fair treatment of poor people. And if you see or hear of any tickets or harassment of the homeless around sleeping or blankets or anything else, actually, but those two are particularly a point of focus so we can bring real data back to the City Council in January and also hopefully raise a, forgive me for saying so, shit storm this vacation time if the police are, in essence, lying, as they have been in the past on this issue. I use the word advisedly, lying. That's not misinforming us by accident or erring or something like that. No, lying, that is to say. One has to assume that they know better based on the fact that they have the information and they're simply not, they're choosing to give other information. Well, lying or incompetent, perhaps that's the way to put it around this issue. This, the way that Belcher claimed that there were two or three blankets and then Pat Ring in 1996 pulled out a receipts for 9 blankets stolen by the police in the so-called search and seize missions where they were going after people sleeping in front of City Hall in the spring of 1996. And they were kind of caught with their pants down there, and they quickly recalculated, but they never got the blankets back to the owners. And they claimed to have changed that policy. And in fact, I haven't heard of blankets being taken recently. Not entirely sure if that's true, at least not repeatedly. Let's at least say that. So here we are at Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's your show, and the call-in number is 427-3772 if you want to get in on the action before we start some of the taped interviews, which I'm going to do first to give myself a little breathing time to line up other parts of the show later. 427-3772. We're also going to be talking about the KSCO aftermath. The KSCO was gracious enough or foolish enough or, who knows, desperate enough to put me on the air yesterday from 10 to 12 in the morning on the Michael Zwirling special. KSCO is the largest AM station in the area, and we talked about the sleeping ban for 2 hours and got a lot of really intelligent callers, some of whom often call this show, and some callers who were critical and hostile to the sleeping ban who didn't sound too articulate. They invited Mike Rotkin to appear, but he never did. Apparently he had some prior engagement. They invited Scott Kennedy as well. Tried to find other people, but it was only me and the kind of new talk show host, a libertarian named Robin, I think it was Robin Goldstein, not sure. And he kept kind of moving the issue back to more general grounds, but we did get a lot of interesting talk in there, and it's not new to those of you who've been listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. We've been talking about this law that criminalizes sleep for homeless people in Santa Cruz outside or in a vehicle for, well, the entire lifetime of our radio station. And I've been talking about it for much longer than that. But we did get out on a major AM station with the issue, which I think is very significant. And hopefully we got the City Council members to listen to the broadcast, because it was rebroadcast at 10 o'clock that night, yesterday, Saturday night. And I'm told by dead-on David Silva, who is the Committee for the Repeal of the Sleeping Ban Outreach Coordinator, and a man following the footsteps of Gandhi and others, has been talking in the past about, you know, going without food in order to show his feelings about a law which violates basic human rights. I think he's pulled back on that because he feels that the Human Rights Declaration by Chris Crone, weakened by Catherine Byers, passed at the December 8th meeting, which says that sleeping is a basic human right and a basic human need, is enough to have him kind of believe the council is trying to move in the right direction, even though it's kind of peculiar to have a human rights declaration like that and then a law at the same time over the winter which makes it illegal for people to sleep or cover up with blankets, particularly at a time when there's no shelter for 80% of the people. Even though if you read the Morning Sentinel, you might think otherwise, because you have reporter Daryl Cole repeatedly quoting people about there are beds at the armory and spaces left open and so forth. And it's too bad he takes that line. It is true, they usually have a floor space or two at the armory if you want to. In other words, they can cram people closer and closer together, so in theory they can keep cramming in more people, except of course for people with pets, people with alcohol and drug problems who are actively engaged in those behaviors, except for unaccompanied minors, except for couples who want to sleep together, except for people who are essentially paranoid about sleeping indoors, except for people concerned about illnesses, and except for those who have their vehicles and want to stay close to their stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of people. In fact, there's hundreds and hundreds of people who are outside and who couldn't be accommodated by the armory if they came in any one group. So there's obviously not the shelter that is required. And the city council, as I pointed out in the last show and yesterday on KSCO, has done not only nothing about it in terms of opening up another public building, let's say, as a shelter, or setting aside a campground for the winter for people to pitch tents so they don't have to be rained on outside, or park their vehicles legally so they don't have to worry about their vehicles being smashed, as one homeless person told me his vehicle was smashed out in Aptos by vandals. If the people parked together, there'd be less chance of that, particularly in a monitored area. But oh no, the life, safety, security, and property of poor people is, of course, of less value than that of wealthier people in Santa Cruz. They just don't rate. And in fact, the only way that we are going to rate, folks, is if we get together and make it clear that the current situation, the current solution to the homeless problem is no solution and is not acceptable as a solution and damn well will not be accepted by any of us. I kind of promised a listener who may be listening in that I was going to go directly to an older tape, which kind of goes into some of the history of the homeless community, the Homeless Service Center, I think it's called. And it used to be called the Homeless Community Resource Center. It includes the free meal, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, Community House. It's the complex out at Rivers and Coral Streets. And I'm going to do that in a moment. I'm going to apologize for going on at sort of such introductory length. I tend to do that. But I like to do it, and it's my show, so there. And you can interrupt it, you know. If you want to call in, I'll have to talk to you, and I'd be happy to do that. That's at 427-3772. I've been getting lots of kudos and plaudits and congratulations and compliments on my performance yesterday on KSCO. And thank you for everyone who listened in and everyone who called into that show. I think you did a great service.